Hallelujah. You may be seated. Good Father, ain't he? When I came to know the Lord, this resonates within me. I couldn't have dreamed of a better Father. I couldn't have dreamed of a better God. Just let this settle.
Was there. He was running out before him. He ran to him, hallelujah, before he could get to him. And he ran to him and he fell into his arms. He told him how much he loved him. I'm here to tell you, I couldn't have dreamed of a better God. I'm just going to brag. Couldn't have dreamed of a better God. Couldn't have dreamed of a better Father. Couldn't have dreamed of a better God. Dreamed of a better Father. Hey, hey. Wants to wrap his arms around you. Tell you he loves you. Tell you he loves you. Couldn't have dreamed of a better Father. Come on, one more time. Couldn't have dreamed of a better God. Can you tell me? Couldn't have dreamed of a better Father. Let's give him praise one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Give him praise. He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 24, 1. Thank you, praise team. The earth is the Lord's. Say, the earth is the Lord's. Say, the earth is the Lord's. Hallelujah. It's God's. Hallelujah. It is God's. Hallelujah. And it says, and the fullness thereof. Say everything in it. Everything in it is God's. It says, in the world, and all them dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The Bible declares in the beginning, God spoke the word, hallelujah. He began to declare things. It was established upon his spirit as the spirit moved upon the waters, hallelujah. Amen. The water speaks of cleansing, speaks of the word of God moving and touching and changing things. Amen. So he established it upon the earth and he filled the earth. The earth was covered with water. And he says, and who shall ascend? He says, in it, upon the flood. He says, he established it. And it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Say, who shall ascend? Who shall ascend upon? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you something. I want you to catch something. Say, it's all about Jesus. I want you to check this out in Ephesians 4. As I was reading this, that scripture, as I read that, it just quickened within me. It says that who shall ascend? I'm here to tell you that somebody ascended, and his name is Jesus. He ascended. Come on, you got to give him some praise. Amen. He says, who shall ascend? And the Bible says this in Ephesians 4. And it says, and therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Say vocation. That means the calling that God had. I went to a vocational school and I graduated as a bricklayer as my vocation. But I want you to know that I have a higher calling than just being a bricklayer, which is a good thing that God uses it to supply some of my needs for ministry. Say amen to that. But I want you to know that I wasn't called just for that, even though that's part of my ministry, because in the midst of it, I got to share something, because I met an atheist face to face. He didn't tell me he was an atheist, but I'm here to tell you he ain't an atheist, because I see the expression of God in his life, because the Bible says the earth is full, hallelujah, of fullness of God. Whether he likes it or not, he's created in his image and likeness. So while he was telling me how he didn't believe in God, I was telling God, hallelujah, how much he loves him. Or God was telling me how much he loves him. As he was denying and not believing, knowing that who God is in his life, God was telling me how much he loves him. That's a good father. Man, I felt the movement of God as I was standing up. I was standing in a high place. I was looking down upon him. And he says, listen, he said, that's good. He says, you might need that. He said, but I don't really need that. I said, oh, you do. And I told him this. I said, listen, I want you to know that you might have had a taste of what you think God is, but when you taste God, hallelujah, everything within you will say, good. But I want you to know that, listen, I want you to know that, listen, I was a drinker and I was a drug addict, but when I tasted God, listen, that when I tasted God, nothing else could compare to what he was to me at that moment, at that minute, hallelujah. As I tasted upon him, and I want you to know that I said, you know what, you look like God more than you think you do. What do you mean by that? I said, because God created you in his image and likeness. I said, you know, he knows the stars. And he says, he knows every hair upon your head. I said, he knows every name of every star. And I says, and he knows your name. And he walked away. Say, that's okay. Because I'm not going nowhere, and neither is God. God wants him to know. But I want you to know that, listen, even in the midst of that, that's might be my vocation, what I do. But I want you to hear that, listen, we have a vocation, a calling upon our lives, that God has equipped us, like my wife said, that every one of us are unique, and God's blending something together. We need to have an ear to hear what God's doing, because God's doing something unique in each one of us. I decide that I need to know what God is doing in me and each one of us to hear what God's doing. That it's not time. Tell someone it's not time to go on vacation. If anybody's going on vacation, my sister, I don't mean that anyway. It's not time to go on vacation on our vocation. It's not time to go on vacation from my vocation. But I need to hear the voice of God. I want to grip hold of what God's doing in this moment, in this air, and what God's doing right here in this house. I believe that God is stirring something within me. I want you to have an ear to hear what God's message is for this church. Amen. I'm responsible to deliver a message from God for what God desires to do in this house. Hallelujah. And I want you to hear that every one of you, hallelujah, are special. Every one of you are stones in this house that we can build God, hallelujah, a place to dwell. Amen. That we can build here with our families, hallelujah, a place, hallelujah, of his dwelling, that those that come in could be healed, that can be blessed, hallelujah, that can be encouraged, that can be lifted up, hallelujah, that can be healed, hallelujah, and sent back out. I want you to hear this. I want you to know that God is putting something within my heart, and he's putting it together. Trust me, as I sat down there, my wife left here at 3, and I had one scripture. It said Psalms 24, 1 through 18. But I have a lot of things in my heart, so I want you to help me tonight. I just want to give the Holy Spirit free. I could write a sermon anytime, but I want to hear specifically what God's saying to us as a church, to equip us, to call us into our vocation. But listen, here's what it says. It says, but the ascending. And he said in verse...
This wind blowing, huh?
Ephesians 4, therefore I'm a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. He says, I'm a prisoner. I am chained to God. We get chained to a lot of things. God's looking for some people that will be willing to be chained to Him. That will be connected to Him. That you can't within you, with everything within you, can't run, you can't leave. Because there's a connection that you have with Him that nothing else can hold you like He does. Listen, and He says, therefore, He says, a vocation wherewith you are called, with the lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, doing everything within you to what? To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That God desires a bond of peace, that there be peace. Say, no more war. Come on, I want you to know there's no more war in Christ. He's made a peace at the cross, and we're going to get into that. He says, there's one body. Say it with me, one body. One Spirit. He says, and even as you are called into one hope and one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. He's above all, He's in all, and He's through all. See, God wants to be everywhere. He wants to be up in everything. Hallelujah. He wants to be all over what you're involved in. Why? Because He's a good Father. Because He desires every area, every inch, hallelujah, every space that He desires to habitate. Hallelujah. He wants to dwell from the top to the bottom in everything that you are. Hallelujah. Why? Because you're called. He will never give up on your vocation and your calling. Hallelujah. Because we are here. We are called to represent Him in one name, in one Spirit. Hallelujah. In one baptism, in one God, in one Father, as one body. Unified together. Hallelujah. Speaking a heavenly language as one. That's His desire. That's the desire in this house. Faucet. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ that's within you. You got a measure within you. He says, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He, this is the Scripture, who shall ascend? Say, He did. Jesus ascended. He says, and He ascended up on high and led captivity captive. And He gave gifts unto men. He says, and now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first to the lower parts of the earth to recover what has been lost? He says, and He that descended is the same that ascended up above heavens, that He might fill all things. He ascended, hallelujah, and fill, that He might fill all things. Say, all things. He says, and He gave some apostles, and He gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. These are giftings of God. Come on. And it says, for the perfecting. What is it for? It's for the perfecting of the saints. He says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Say, for edifying for the body of Christ. He says, till we all. Say, till we all. Some people say, well, there's no need for apostles, evangelists, preachers, teachers, and all that right now. I want you to know the Bible says, until we all come. Into what? Into unity. I want you to understand the thing that brings us into unity is each one of us coming into the vocation and the calling that God has called us to come into. Say fivefold. God's restoring the fivefold ministry. I just kind of teach something real quick. Come on. I don't know if y'all know this, but some of you might know this. But God's restoring something back to the church. He's restored something back to the church, but we kind of come in alignment with what He's already done. Say He's already done it. He's already done it. And He says, and He gave some, He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature and the fullness of Christ. That we, therefore, no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind and every doctrine by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie to wait to deceive us. This is important. Tell your neighbor this is important. From who the whole body is fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying itself in love. I want you to hear and know how important it is for us to come into unity and for us to mature into Him. That we're not carried away by any doctrine, winds of doctrine, or things that are out there, but we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. Because I'm connected to one another. Come on, there's something, there's a connection there that's happening that God wants to work within a body. Listen. As I began to think about that, I began to think about Matthew. Let me just share this. This just jumped out at me when I was down there in the office. Matthew 19. Are you okay? Matthew 19. Say He's restoring. Hallelujah. And we got to see what God's doing. It says in Matthew, is that 19 or 12? 12. Sorry. My writing's not that good. There it is. And this is verse 12. This is chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. And it says, and when He had departed, He went into the synagogue. Say He went to church. It's talking about God restoring His church. Bringing them into a maturity. But I want you to understand that everything that He has done is done at the cross. But we're getting a glimpse of this, letting Him taking hold of what He's already done and what is already finished at the cross. And He says, we just got to get in line with what He's already done. He says, and in the synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had a withered hand. He says, and He asked him, saying, it is it lawful, these are the Sadducees and Pharisees, He says, to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse Him of doing something and breaking the commandments, breaking the law. See, I want you to understand something, that Jesus wasn't breaking the law, but He was fulfilling it. See, this man was crippled. He was in a place, he was sitting in church, and he didn't have the full authority. It speaks of me as the church, where that they're not taking hold of the full authority that they have. See, your hand speaks of authority, because you can grip it, and you can pull it up, hallelujah. You can take hold of things. Come on, it gives you power that you're able to take hold of it. It signifies things. Come on, I talk with my hands. I couldn't imagine not being able to talk with my hands. I'm not Italian, but it's something I just do. Amen. I couldn't think about not being able to move back and forth. There's a movement that's going on. But I want you to see that He's showing something that He's come to fulfill. Hallelujah. What couldn't get done by religion, what was unable to do that. And here this man, he was disabled. He was sitting in church because religion was not able to fulfill. He couldn't get to God on his own. Hallelujah. But he needed somebody to make a way for him. And here comes Jesus. Hallelujah. He didn't come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. Hallelujah. He was the fulfillment of what man couldn't do on their own. Here comes Jesus, hallelujah, to fulfill what man couldn't do. What man couldn't accomplish on his own. Here comes Jesus. Say, here comes Jesus. And He says, and He said unto Him, He says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if he falls into a pit, speaking of religion, He says, on the Sabbath day, and he will not lay a hold of it and lift him up out of that place. And He says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. And He saith unto them, He said, stretch forth your hand. He says, and as He stretched forth His hand, He restored him whole, like as the other hand. Say, He restored it. And then the Pharisees went out and they began to counsel how that they might come to destroy. Now I want to speak of the hand just for a minute. The fivefold hand speaks of every one of our fingers. We have five digits. If you don't get offended. There's just many of times where I almost didn't have all my digits. If you've seen some pictures that I've shown, me cutting myself. My wife gets really mad at me because I do foolish things sometimes. But so as we speak of this the gripping, the one that's in control, the one that leads, the one that guides, grips it, speaks of the apostle. Speaks of the leadership of leading and guiding. Come on, say we need that. We need apostolic covering. We need that leadership. So you see this finger. This is the pointer finger. Say pointer finger. This points, hallelujah. It speaks of evangelism. Come on. Speaking, this is the way. Come on, come ye in it. Come on, just like John the Baptist. Walk, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And then the middle finger, putting it up. I'm sorry, wait, the pointing finger, I'm sorry. The pointing finger speaks of the prophet, sorry. Say prophet. I know that, it just speaks of the prophet. Prophetically declaring, like John the Baptist. The middle finger speaks of the evangelist, because it's the most extended finger. I want to show you my middle finger, but I'm not doing that. But you see, it's the one that extends beyond the other ones. It's the one that reaches out beyond the other ones. I want you to see how that God puts something together that it's meaningful, that God wants to restore all fivefold. So sometimes, some churches, we only operate in one little area, but God wants us to be one together, hallelujah, that we can operate. Every one of us have different giftings, and God works within us, and each one of us have different measures that we need from one another, that we can effectively do what God has called us to do. And so the ring finger is the pastor. It's the one that we need to be in covenant together with, like in marriage. As we covenant together with them, that they guard us like the shepherd guards, hallelujah, those that are in the flock, that they're willing to lay their life down. Come on. I want you to know and understand that there's a calling in my life to be a pastor. I'm bragging about the calling of God that God places within you. That when God puts this within you, hallelujah, something works within you. You're not doing it on your own, hallelujah. So that gifting of a pastoral that's within me causes me to weep, hallelujah, when people are going through things, hallelujah, that I don't even know who it is, but there's something that comes upon me when I know that. And then I find out somebody's going through something. It was that heaviness that I felt that we begin to pray in the Spirit, because I don't know what direction it is going, but you begin to pray, you begin to ask God to intercede. But it's in those moments that God begins to make way, that God guards the souls of those that are sheep. That's what a pastor does. It's a heavy calling. This isn't the last one. It's the teacher. Say teacher. That teacher, it's the one that, you know, you can't get your fat fingers in your ears. But you can really get in this one. Smile. Y'all do this. I know you do. Clean your ears out a little bit. Gross, but... Or you have an itchy ear. The only thing that get there is your pinky. The ear gets itchy. I want you to know that there's some things that only by teaching can get to those places that are within us that nothing else can. We need every part of these in the body. So I want you to know that Jesus restored it. He ascended, hallelujah. He ascended it and gave us gifts. He gave us gifts that we're to receive. Take hold of all that God has. I want you to know that, listen, the moments that we have on this earth, we need to seek God to know the vocation that God has called me to be, the ministry that God has called me to move in, to operate in, hallelujah, to lift up, to move through, that we can restore it, that we can strengthen, hallelujah, that we can move with what God, with one calling, with one God, hallelujah, with one Spirit, hallelujah, as one body in Christ. Amen? Listen. So he's restoring. He fulfilled the law to restore. Let's jump back to Proverbs, Psalms 24. So he said, he's the one that ascended. He's already done it. Hallelujah. Who shall ascend to his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. We cannot have clean hands or a pure heart without taking hold of what He's done for me. I don't do this by my own strength, but I do it by Him fulfilling the law for me. Accomplishing what I couldn't do in my own strength, not by religion, but by relationship with God. By having a relationship with Him. And He says, He that has clean hands and a pure, not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfulness. He received the blessing from the Lord in righteousness from God of His salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him and seek His face. They make Him the most important thing in their life. God's looking for a generation to be the most important thing, for Him to be the most important thing in their life that God can move through. Amen? And He says, so lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. He is the King of glory. There's a declaration here. I want you to understand that this whole scripture is talking about David as he brought the presence of God in the ark, as they carried it, hallelujah. They were bringing it into the temple. And he was declaring to the people that, listen, lift up your heads, because here comes the King of glory, hallelujah. He's strong and mighty. He's great and mighty, hallelujah. That's who he is. He is the King of glory, hallelujah. And he desires to enter in. I want you to hear this and know, because Jesus ascended, hallelujah, that I now can receive Christ in my life, and by God moving within me, that I am a vessel carrying the glory of God, hallelujah. Not just God asking to come in, but when He comes in, that God wants to flow through me as a vessel to those around us. He wants to flow out of our lives, each and every one of us, that we being the vessels of God for the glory, hallelujah. See, God wants to work in our lives. So He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Let the King of glory flow out of your life. God desires to move within you. Hallelujah. God desires to move in our lives, to move through us. Hallelujah. Whew. I think that's a good news. Amen. Tell someone that's good news. He says, so we are the gates of heaven. We are the doorways by which heaven flows out of our lives. God desires to open us windows of heaven. That out of our very lives, heaven on earth, in the midst of those that are out there in the world. The expression of God walking around. Just as Jesus carried the presence of God with Him. Walked with the presence of God. Not carrying the ark, the presence carrying Him. Amen? I know it's warm. Are you okay? Let me share this last couple of scriptures. Matthew 16. I don't think I'd get through this whole thing, but Matthew 16 says this. Matthew 16, verse 14. And this is Peter. Jesus asked him, he says, who do people say that I am? And you've read this many times, but I want to take this and show you really how powerful this. And he says, who are you? He says, who do you say that I am? And Peter said this to him. He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. Say, He is the Christ. See, there's something within us as we understand, when you know that He's the Savior, that He's the Redeemer of the world. There's one thing to say it, hallelujah, just to say it. But to know it within your spirit, hallelujah, that there's something great that the truth reveals to you who He really is within your lives. That He is my Messiah. He is, hallelujah, Christ, the Anointed One. He's my Deliverer. He's my Redeemer, hallelujah. And He says, and Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon. He says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, And upon this rock, I will build my church. Now I want you to see something. Sometimes we take the scripture and we misinterpret it that he wasn't building the foundation of the church upon a man. But he was building it upon, hallelujah, a message. And that was, he was the anointed one. He was Christ, hallelujah, Jesus. It was by what he said that I'm building my church upon what you're saying. Upon Christ, the solid rock I stand. You hear what I'm saying? But it was the revelation that came forth out of Peter's mouth that he was building it upon. See, it's by that revelation I'm building this. It's by you taking hold of it that you know that I haven't even went to the cross yet, but you agree with who I am in your life. That I'm the anointed one. I'm the Messiah. Now, one scripture later, he calls him Satan because he was telling him you shouldn't go to the cross. Sound like us sometimes? Sometimes we think we got it. And God's got to rebuke us and say, come on. Stop being foolish. You just had an amazing revelation. And now you're letting your flesh tell you that. How many times did that happen to us? Come on, I want you to see this. And he says, and I say unto these that I build upon in the gates of hell, say the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. He says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to bring this down. I want you to get this. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Say the keys to the kingdom. This is important. He says, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Say whatsoever. So whatsoever is loosed in heaven. See, it's already done. Jesus, he got the keys. The Bible says that he bound the strong man, hallelujah, that took captive the house. Speaking of the devil. And it says he bound him. Say he's bound. He's not going to be bound. The Bible says that he crushed the head of the serpent who was the devil at the cross. Say he has no power with me. I got the keys. So whatever, hallelujah, is loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. God give me the key to loose it, not by my pipe, but by Jesus did for me. He's already loosed it. Sickness, disease, hallelujah. All those things, weaknesses and doubts and fears, it's been loosed in heaven, loosed on the earth, hallelujah. That you make it part of your life. He's given you the keys to loose it. There's some people that are bound with sickness and disease, and God's given you as a son of God the keys to loose them. Not by what you've done, but by what he did at the cross. See, he already bound the strong man. I'm not trying to bind Satan. Jesus bound him. Tell somebody, bound him. Say amen. Come on, it's the word of God. He says he already bound it. You could read that scripture in Mark 3:27. He says he already bound the strong man. He bound him. He has no more power over you as a child of God. Say no more power. He has no more authority over me. So he says this, and he says, and then he charged his disciples. He said, don't tell anybody that I am Christ yet. So he went on, he says, and after 6 days, this is the transfiguration. I want to get this point, and then we're done. Okay? So here's the Mount Transfiguration. And they say that because I don't know if their real realization of really what we can express this is, because Jesus was transformed before their eyes. They're like, wow, glowing, radiant. But there was something even more just about an exterior. Something was being, this is the Mount of Fulfillment. Because Jesus was fulfilling what religion couldn't do. What man couldn't do by his works to get to God, Jesus was fulfilling. By what man couldn't do to loose themselves, he loosed it for you in heaven. What was bound on earth, hallelujah, he loosed it for you. He broke it for you, the things that you couldn't do on your own. So here, listen to this. This is powerful. And it says, and after, say 6 days. Six speaks of man. So after man had his way, here comes Jesus. He says, and Jesus takes up Peter, James, and John. And he says, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart. And he was transfigured. He says, before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as snow. If they didn't really realize it, down deep within them at that moment, there was a revelation. Wow. He says, and behold, man, if there was cameras at that time, right? And behold, there appeared unto Moses and Elijah, taking him, talking to him. Who was it? Moses and Elijah. Moses speaks of the law, and Elijah speaks of the prophets. So here they are standing before him. I want you to see that God fulfills His covenant. He fulfills His promises, because I know that God showed His hinder parts the glory of God, because Moses says, show me your glory. I want you to see the fulfillment of that scripture. Jesus was the glory of the Father standing before Moses. And could you imagine Moses? This is the promised land. He is the promised land that I was looking for. He is the promised land. So they're standing there. And in the midst of this meeting, here's James, John, and Peter. They're standing there and they're watching this thing take place. The fulfillment of the scripture. Jesus was fulfilling. Moses, you did what the Father told you. You brought the commandments. You brought the law. Thank you. Elijah, you prophesied of my coming. You declared you were the one that began to excel and bring forth, hallelujah, a word of my coming. Thank you. But I got it from here. Come on, hallelujah. But I got it from here. Now it's my time to fulfill what the Father sent me. My vocation, my calling right here to fulfill it. Hallelujah. What couldn't be done before by man, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it. That's good news. Come on, amen. So he says, I'm going to fulfill it. So he says, and while he spoke, behold, the cloud overshadowed them. And the voice, answered Peter, said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wouldn't you feel that way too? He'd look at each other and said, man, it's really good that we're here. This thing that's taking place, we're experiencing something that's amazing right here. And he says, listen, you guys can come up with me. He said, this is my beloved. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He says, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt let us make here 3 tabernacles. Now, I want you to see this. He says, let us make 3 tabernacles. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for Jesus. And he says, one of these for each one of you. And while he was speaking, I want you to know there's a hurting and a dying generation down at the bottom of the hill. And this is what religion will try to do. He says, let's just stay here in our house and worship right here. Jesus says, no, that's not what I've come to do. And as he was talking, the heavens opened. And it began to declare, Peter, be quiet. No, Peter, shut up. Because this is the fulfillment of the scripture. This is my beloved Son, in whom I've called, in whom I've sent. Listen to him. He's going to give you the authority. He's going to give you the keys of what you've tried to do on your own for thousands of years. He's going to unleash, hallelujah, the heavens to you. He's going to give you the keys to the kingdom, the authority that you've lacked, that you're not able to do a religion. We're not going to build another temple, hallelujah, but we're going to habitate you, hallelujah. God wants to put the keys within your life. God wants to habitate your very being. And when the disciples heard that, they fell on their face. He says, and they were so afraid that Jesus came and He touched them. And He said, arise. He said, don't be afraid. And He said, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. There was no man. Hallelujah. There was no more law. There was no more, hallelujah, of what was to come. Because Jesus was there on the sea. I'm here. I fulfilled it. I am here for you to take hold of what I have done on the cross. There's not nothing to come. I've already done it. It's fulfilled. I've accomplished it. Now, take hold of it. Stand your feet. Come on, take hold of it. Hallelujah. The law and the prophets couldn't do it. Man couldn't fulfill it, but Jesus did. This is, and they came from the mountain, and Jesus charged them, saying, tell this vision to no one. Be risen from the dead. And Jesus asked him. And as they come, and they begin to declare, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth, and touching anything thou shalt ask, and it shall be done in my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I want you to know that the church is called to gather together where two or three are gathered together in the midst. Do you know what we're called to do? We're called to legislate. We're legislators. You know what a legislator is? They legislate. They declare the law. What has been established, we declare the law of heaven that you're free. Hallelujah. By grace, hallelujah. By grace you're free. That you are loosened from the things that try to bind you. From sickness, from disease. Hallelujah. We've been loosed. We've got the keys. Hallelujah. God's already unlocked it for us to walk in, to take hold of. It's for us right now to take hold of all what God has in us. We are called to be the messengers. As I was praying, I seen something. Remember when they had to leave the Garden of Eden? They were escorted out. But I want you to know that what came in that place, it says that there were angels, say messengers. And they were standing at the entrance back into paradise to the presence of God. And it says they had a flame of fire, a sword in their hands. And they were pointing the way back into the presence of God. I want you to hear and understand that I believe with all my heart. I know that that declares something. It declares the Word of God is a sword. Hallelujah. That we got to take hold of it. And it's by the Spirit, the flame of God, that draws us back to His presence, to which we are called to move in. Calling us back. Say, come on back. Come on back. Come on back into my presence. Come on back into my image. Come on back into my likeness. Come on. Come on back. I've got the keys. I've overcome sickness and disease. Come on back. Say, come on back. Hallelujah. Say, come on back. Hallelujah. Oh, let's bless His name. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You've done for me, how that you've overcome what I couldn't overcome, that I don't have to walk in weakness.